For the last month, I have been wading through the land allotments in Joshua, and I'd like to keep my focus on Joshua. If you've been around here long, you know that I am an exegetical preacher, and that I don't like to break from my verse-by-verse walkthrough of the scriptures. However, yet again this week, we have news which I simply cannot ignore. We had one of these breaks to discuss the government response to the COVID-19 epidemic only 10 weeks ago, on March 22nd of 2020. And yet again, we are compelled to dig into a consideration of governmental ethics in light of new abuses. A brief recap of events is as follows. On Monday of last week, a Minneapolis man by the name of George Floyd was arrested. He had been cuffed by several police officers, and when they tried to put him into a police vehicle, he fell to the ground. Several officers held him there, while one officer, Derek Chauvin, was kneeling on top of Floyd with his knee on his neck, videos show. Video then showed that Floyd, clearly in pain, was verbally agreeing to submit to the arresting officers if they would get off of him, but the officers would not. Floyd said the fateful words, "I can't breathe," and the officers stayed on top of him until he died. It is a disturbing event, to be sure, and one which seems impossible for the police to justify. Since the death, Officer Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder, and protests have broken out against police abuse everywhere from Atlanta to Alaska. Some of these protests have turned violent. At least one person has died. Businesses, police cars, and government buildings have burned, and there has been looting, vandalism, and so forth. These kinds of acts have not been characteristic of all protests, and it is unclear how much violence there has been proportional to peace, and also who is causing the violence. Agent provocateurs, state agents disguised as rioters, have been known to use violent and destructive means to discredit protests in the past. In response to the rioting, many state and local governments have enacted curfews in an attempt to stop the protests. Seemingly, this has only increased the violence, and the police have used violence to enforce the curfews. We cannot ignore such circumstances, and so I feel the need to make a brief overview of the moral implications. We cannot deny that there is a rightful place of government. Scripture clearly calls for God-ordained government, and in doing so requires the agents of that government to submit to moral right and wrong. For that I cite for you Romans chapter 13. The bounds of right and wrong are defined by Scripture, and as it concerns government, by the law of Moses, as we have discussed many times in the past. Unfortunately, we have long since passed the time when the United States and its subdivisions have given heed to the moral law of Scripture. Particularly, as is pertinent in this case, we note the famous Lex Talionis, the law of retaliation, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, as setting a bound of enforcement which neither government actors nor anyone else might rightly cross. The punishments must fit the crime. The use of force must be proximate. It is not acceptable to enact a death penalty against a man who had been accused of committing a misdemeanor. It is not acceptable to file four people on top of one. We also note the right to a fair trial. No one should be extrajudicially punished. In this case, Mr. Floyd was to be presumed innocent until he was convicted in a court of law. There could be no justification for killing him on the street, except if he had been attempting to use potentially deadly force against the officers, which he clearly was not. But set the current case aside for a moment and contemplate the higher ideal. If government agents step out of the bounds of Christian morals and enforce immoral laws, or even if they use disproportionate force to enforce good laws, they themselves become lawbreakers. The purpose of government is to do justice for the people, and this includes penalizing government agents who break the law. And we recognize that there exists a natural right to self-defense inherent in the Noahide Covenant, which precedes the law. It is therefore the right of the citizenry to defend themselves against lawbreakers using proportional force, whether those lawbreakers are working for the state or not. It is clear that Mr. Floyd's death is not an island unto itself, but it exists in a certain context. Criminal acts, right up to and including murder, are routinely committed by police throughout the United States, and they are almost never held accountable for these acts. The reason for this is a court precedent called qualified immunity. State actors presume themselves to be above the law, something called sovereignty. The Bible does not agree with this. According to the Bible, we are all equals, with God being the only sovereign. However, due to the false doctrine of sovereignty, the American courts, most notably the U.S. Supreme Court, have held that agents of the state are immune to legal penalties for their crimes, meaning that, in general, they cannot be punished for breaking the law while on duty. The false doctrine of qualified immunity holds that there are only narrow exceptions, qualifications, which would break this immunity. In the case of modern policing, the courts have demanded that before officers can be held accountable for their crimes, it must be shown that the officers had no arguable probable cause to commit them, and that they knowingly violated clearly established law. So, for example, if a police officer walked up to a man on the street and said, "I'm going to shoot you to death because your skin is black," well, there is no argument to be made there. The law is clearly established. That's murder. An officer could be held liable for that. However, if the same scenario occurred and the officer said, "I'm going to shoot you to death because I can't see your hands and you hypothetically might be holding a gun," well, the courts have allowed that, unfortunately, because arguably, they say, the officer might have been acting in self-defense. In such a case, the officer could not be held liable. Qualified immunity, or any brand of sovereign immunity, is a manifest injustice on its face. The scriptures demand equality under the law. If state agents have rights that you don't have, then the law is not equal, and it thereby violates God's command. The problem of immunity is so severe that, frankly, it undercuts claims by the United States to being a legitimate God-ordained government. We should not rush to judgment in this case. As I've said, the officers involved deserve a fair trial like anyone else. However, a slanted trial, which is colored by sovereign immunity, is no real trial at all. I am hopeful that in this case justice will be served. As I said, the officer who is shown in the video with his knee on the man's neck has been charged with murder. So it appears to me that prosecutors are doing the job here. But again, we don't know all of the facts and don't know how things will shake out, so I guess we'll see. However, concerned as I am about the case of Mr. Floyd, I am much more concerned about events which have transpired in the wake of Mr. Floyd's death. So let us consider some of the moral ramifications of those. First, all people have a natural, biblically supported, and God-ordained right to their liberty, which includes the right to leave their homes at whatever hour they see fit. We are not slaves. Our homes are not cells in a giant prison. Even if they were, the scriptures do not justify kidnapping and enslavement. In fact, those things carry the death penalty. Additionally, all people have a natural, biblically supported, and God-ordained right to peacefully protest against the misdeeds of their government. There is no law of scripture against such speech. However, we should remember that the scriptures do not condone unbridled acts of violence against innocent parties. So the violent protests that we are seeing, where malls are looted and smash and grabs and fast food restaurants are burned, are not justifiable. It is obvious that individuals who engage in harming innocent people and destroying their private property as a form of protest should be punished proportionally, and those kinds of so-called protests should not be tolerated. And that includes any agent provocateurs who are likely among them. But bad as rioting like that is, the problem which I find most disturbing and which has goaded me to speak out in this particular instance is the government crackdown on innocent civilians in response to the riots. In an effort to stop protests, many of which have been peaceful, many state and local governments have mandated curfews. This is clearly unacceptable. It is a violation of the right of innocent people to their liberty. It is no more right for a government agent to attack an innocent person in response to riots than it is right for a rioter to attack an innocent person in response to police brutality. We've already discussed this in response to the forced quarantines of the COVID-19 pandemic. No state agent has any right to demand that you stay in your home. Some will say that the circumstances justify this manifest injustice, but they absolutely do not and cannot. The ends do not ever justify the means. It is true that there has been violence against innocent parties. Stores have been looted. Things have been vandalized and burned. That behavior is unacceptable. However, it is never acceptable for the state or anyone else to punish and repress innocent parties because of the actions of a few. If a person whom I do not know commits a crime like burning a building on the opposite side of my city and I had nothing to do with it, that absolutely is not a justification to force me to stay in my home. And furthermore, the curfews which are being imposed, contrary to the moral law, have the effect of stifling legitimate, peaceful protests undertaken by law-abiding citizens whose argument against qualified immunity is very well justified. As a teacher of the scriptures, I cannot sit quietly while the state attempts to silence those who are speaking out in favor of biblical ethics. And I cannot ignore violent actions taken to trample the rights of innocent people. And you should make no mistake. The police, and indeed the military, are now in American streets enforcing this immoral curfew with violence. As an example, of which I am sure there are many, I have linked for you disturbing video of a woman shot with paint canisters by a military contingent, complete with a military vehicle, simply for standing at the door of her own home. To use military forces, including militarized police forces, to trample the rights of innocent civilians, as is clearly being done, represents a literal act of war against the people whom the government agents are sworn to serve. And I cannot emphasize that heavily enough. The police state has militarized and is now openly at war with the general American public, a state of affairs made all the more horrifying by the literal suspension of the rule of law in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We are living in a full-blown military police state, and it is utterly unacceptable. I want to be perfectly clear. It is your duty to submit to lawful orders given by a God-ordained government which is acting in harmony with God's laws. However, you are not at all under any moral obligation to submit to unlawful orders given in furtherance of a military attack on innocents. And in fact, you have a moral right and duty to defend yourself, your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and your neighbors against that kind of lawlessness using proportional force. The state exists to defend your rights. If they will refuse to do so and will instead trample your rights, then there is no one left to defend you but yourself and your loved ones. The burden of defending your God-given rights falls to you then, and the love of God and neighbor demands that you preserve those rights for your posterity.